open your Bibles and go over there with us today, asking God for His Spirit that we've already felt in the midst of the congregational songs and the special singing. But we're looking forward to even more that God has in store for us today. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. If you found it today, we'll go and start reading at verse 1 down through and including verse 8. Down through and including verse 8. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus, in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In verse 9 as well, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And stop reading there this morning, and we thank you for honoring his word. Paul is elaborating to Timothy about, if I can put it in Roger's terms, how proud he is of Timothy and Timothy's ancestors. He said, Timothy, this did not start in you, but it has started in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. How many of us know that we are where we are at today because our forefathers loved us enough to take our name before God and ask for the need that we had in our life? And because they were obedient, God also blessed us with that same calling in our life. But he says in verse 6, but I want to put you in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul wanting to stir up that gift that Timothy had down on the inside. We know that it was a different era of time, and for them to receive the Holy Ghost, it was for the man of God to lay their hands on them for the transferring of the Holy Spirit. Today we live in a time when you and I that have been born again, we have the Holy Spirit because God laid it upon us. He put it within our hearts and our soul when we were saved. It's not my hand or anybody else's hand that will give you the Holy Ghost. It happens when you put your whole faith, your whole heart in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he gives us that gift. But Paul is saying that we need to remember that gift. And I'd want to use that for a text today, remembering our gift. I know the Bible talks about many gifts that the early church and 1 Corinthians that Paul elaborated about. But Brother Charlie, the most important gift we can have is the gift of the Holy Spirit down in our soul. You can't have it unless you've been born again. And if you've been born again, it's already been given to you. You can't work toward it. You can't earn it. But it's something that God put down on the inside. But sometimes along this journey, we all get a little low. And we need to remember that gift that is down within our soul. It's clear here that Paul was trying to encourage Timothy, because he said in verse 7 that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The world may shake all around us, but God is still in control. He's still on his throne, and his people are still the most powerful folks that there are. If the church would just come together and remember our gift, we have a power that's more powerful than any nuclear bomb. We have the power that is more powerful than any army or group of armies that may assemble around the world. Because I've read the book many times, and I've seen where often God has taken little to conquer the mighty. Because they was not fighting based upon their own power or their own strength, but they was fighting with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Little is much when God is in it. Amen. We need to look at this gift today that is often referred to or compared to a fire that's put down inside of us. You remember, throughout the Bible, fire is something that is often used, and it is a symbol of God himself, the fire that God put down in us. It's not just something that's there every once in a while. But that fire that God put down in our souls, it is forever there. Sometimes it feels like a candle. Sometimes it feels like a raging wildfire. And I say, thank God. As the McCameys sang that song many years ago, the flame has flickered, but it's never gone out. And it will never go out. Because what God does it complete. You remember back in the children of Israel from a bondage into Canaan's land. It was God that led them by night by a fire. That fire that led them by night and a cloud by day. You remember it was by fire that Moses saw that bush upon Mount Sinai that was burning but would not be consumed. You remember, and every time I think about this, the choir singing, can I pause for a minute? The choir singing this morning about that song, and it took me back to Brother Raymond Hood. It was his favorite song. And he loved to hear that song sung. And it brought tears to my eyes, reflecting on our soldiers that have fallen on the battlefield. But they're not dead. They're sleeping under the altar of God until the Lord comes in the clouds of glory. The next verse reminds me of Lisa's grandpa. Because you remember when he would stand and testify here, he would talk about Abraham and Isaac. When God told Abraham to take his son, his only son Isaac, up on the mountain there and to offer him up as a sacrifice unto God. And Isaac, when they got up there on the journey, Isaac looked at his dad and said, we have the wood and we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham responded, God will provide himself a lamb. And certainly he did today. We know that in Exodus there was many times, and more times than I can recite today, that when an offering was placed on the altar, it was put there with fire. It was put there with fire. And I remember their offerings had to be offered with fire. And the Bible says and teaches us that there in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, you remember the prophet Elijah when he was there before the prophets of Baal, how that he cried out and he said, "Let's do this. Let's let the God that answereth by fire be the God that we serve." The prophets of Baal put their offering upon the altar and they cried out for their God. And no answer came. And he began to mock them, if you'll have it. Maybe he's on a journey or maybe he's asleep. But when they cut themselves and they finally gave up, first thing he did, Charlie, he said, "Let me fix this altar. America's got some things we need to go back and fix." And when they got the altar fixed and they put everything in order, he said, "Let me tell you how good I believe my God is today. Throw some water on the altar." Hallelujah. We all know that wet wood won't burn. But we're not talking about a normal fire. He cried out to his God, and you know the story. His God answered, and the fire came down from out of heaven. And it lapped up the offering. But not just that, but the water also. The fire came down. You know as well that the Bible teaches us that, and I recited this, I believe it was on Wednesday night, how that Jeremiah, in a short condensed statement, said, "I'm not going to preach anymore." But then he said, "But his words were like fire shut up in my bones." How many of us sometimes when God passes by, you feel like you're just on fire? You've got to do something to tell somebody about how good your God is along this journey. The Bible teaches us that also that in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter and the seventh verse, that God's ministers are as a flame of fire, not because of who we are, but who we represent today. Do you know, I'm nobody, but he that lives in me is somebody today. And we've got to have the fire. Sing your song with the fire mixed in it today. And preachers, preach your message with the fire mixed within it today. Because without the fire, nothing can be accomplished. Nothing can be accomplished. And Paul's telling Timothy here that we need to stir up. Remember to stir up that gift that God has put down within us. Every one of you that's been saved, God has given you that gift. If we go back to 1 Corinthians for real quickly for a moment of time, that it talks about the gifts that was given unto us as children of God. And the gifts are really divided amongst three different divisions. One is the gifts of the revelation, that the mind that he gives us in our minds. And then he also gives us the gifts of inspiration, to where they are the vocal gifts that God has given to us. And then also the gifts of power, working gifts that we need to put into action today. That he gave us in the first group, there was the word of wisdom in that revelation that he gave. And then also the word of knowledge and the discerning of the spirits. And we say, what does all that mean? Do we all know the scripture where God told us to try the spirits, for they are many? And there are many spirits still in our world today. But we have the gift by the Holy Spirit to discern that which is the good spirit and that which is the evil spirit. Amen? And the evil spirit is running rampant across our country. But thank God there's still some that have the gift to be able to discern that this is not God. It was not in the earthquake. It was not in the fire. But it was in that still small voice that God spoke and delivered our forefathers today. We need the spirit of discernment in our hearts and lives to know that not everyone that carries a book, a Bible under their arm is a man called of God. And I said a man because the Bible teaches us that men are called to preach the gospel. Can I get a witness in the house of the Lord? And it's not every man that gets behind the pulpit that's been called of God. You heard me on Wednesday night when Brad announced his call to preach, and I gave him the best advice I know. And that is, if you can get out from under it, go ahead and do so. If you can outrun it, go ahead and do so. Some would say that's not very good wisdom. It's wisdom because, let me tell you, it comes with a great price, a great responsibility to stand behind the pulpit. And I certainly would not want to stand here and try to bring a message without the fire and the Holy Ghost that lives down on the inside of me, that I might be able to give to you what God gives to me. I can't write it out. I can't study enough to know it. But it takes the fire from heaven above to bring a word from God that men and women will take into their mouth and chew it up and swallow it, digest it, and say, it was good to hear a word from the Lord this morning, because now I'm energized. I can go on because I've remembered where the Lord has brought me from. And then he said the gifts of inspiration, the gifts of prophecy. How many of you know that the prophets were until John? Amen. Any man that, and I seen this this week advertised that a revival is coming to Kentucky, and I thought, man, that's pretty good. We got a man coming to bring a revival. And then I read the rest of it, and his title starts out, Prophet. Let me tell you today, there are no prophets. You know what we are? We are discerners of the word. We are taking the prophecies that's already been given, and what we do is we still preach about the prophecies that our forefathers experienced and was told about. Any man that gives you a new prophecy, mark them down and put them aside. Even though it be an angel, stay away from them, because the Bible has already got the end of the book, and I've read it, and I know today the fire that we have within us is not because of us, but it's because of God himself that sends the fire down from heaven above that burns sin out from men and women's souls and makes them a brand new creature in Jesus Christ. I've got the fire down on the inside, and every once in a while it has to come to the outside. And when I'm down and I'm low, I need to be reminded, as Paul was reminding Timothy, Roger, you're not in this by yourself. You've got a higher power today that lives and reigns forevermore. We've got the gift of tongues, and also the interpretation of tongues. Am I not in a Baptist church? You know what the Bible says on that day of Pentecost? They all heard in their own language. I don't believe in speaking in tongues because God has gave me the English language. Amen. If I speak in any other language, I would need an interpreter in the house of the Lord. But they had the interpreters that was there. The preacher preached and they all heard in their own ear. How did they hear in their own ear? The Holy Spirit was the interpreter. Oh, and I got to go here this morning, church. When I was under conviction, I told you somewhere along the message, I lost sight of what the preacher was preaching about, and I heard the preacher. You know what that means today? There was an interpreter in the house of the Lord. Who is this interpreter? None other than the Holy Ghost itself. The preacher was preaching one thing, and God sent a message directly to me where I was at. How many of you remember that day when the word come to you today? It's no wonder we get excited when they sing the song. It was on a Sunday, a Monday, a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Don't matter what the day of the week was. Even if I forget the day of the week, I forget the month and the year. One thing I know for sure, the fire fell from heaven and it touched my soul. and it changed me and made me a complete person in Jesus Christ. And every once in a while, church, we need to remember where God brought us from and all the things that he has given to us along this journey. And then he talks about the working gifts real quickly. And every one of us, I should have said this before, can have one or multiple of these gifts. You could have them all. The working gifts. How many of you got faith this morning? You've got a gift. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Faith has brought us through so much. Let me recite that again. Faith has brought us through so much. How many of you been there where you said, I can't? And God just sets a fire by your way. And he picked you up and he set you on your own two feet because he took that little bit of faith you had, mixed it with his fire. And you know what happened? You walked where you thought you could not walk. You sang when you thought you could not sing. You had the inspiration that had been taken away from you because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to take away your faith. But I find where we have just a little faith. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Sometimes you can't even see the space between my finger and my thumb. But you know what? That little bit of faith mixed in trusting in God and his son Jesus Christ, the fire will come down and it will burn and it will burn and it will burn. And we'll be like the prophet Jeremiah when we said we can't do it anymore. We'll rise up to our feet and we'll say, Lord, I can't, but by your help, I can today because I feel the fire burning on the inside. The other one is the gift of healing. And I am in a Baptist church this morning. But how many of us do us know that there are people that have the presence with God to go down in prayer for a brother or sister that needs healing? And we'll see God begin to move. I cannot lay my hands on you and healing come. I seen a little segment yesterday. This so-called preacher, where he had this woman that was standing before him that was stricken with all kinds of arthritis and could not walk without a cane. And he was had her there and he had his hand out and he was touching her knees and touching her hips and her shoulders. And then he said something, and she began to walk. The cane went to the side. And I thought, a lot of our people are mixed up with the wrong fire. I don't have the power to touch you and bring healing upon you. But I know a man who can. Amen. Yes, I'm just a little man, but he is a big man today. The spirit of healing, the gift of healing. And I believe we got people in our church today that have that spirit today because we've got too many people that have been diagnosed with too many dreaded diseases and illnesses that have been healed, that somebody in the house of God touched heaven on their behalf. Well, thank God this morning and healing come out of their way. I didn't know I was going to preach on this on a Sunday morning, but I thank God we got the fire in the midst of the church where healing can come down. And the greatest healing of all is not a manifest in his body, but it's a manifestation in our soul where healing comes. And we know that we've been saved by the grace of God. And then the working of miracles. I've seen so many miracles. And you say, Roger, how do you know it was a miracle? Because the world said it can't happen. Amen. So many miracles that Satan would come and break it up. And here would come God and put it all back together. Lives, homes, bodies, churches, and even, yes, nations. America, don't forget, We're founded on the fire and the Holy Ghost. We need to remember where we came from as a nation and get back to God. Paul said, and I've not even barely touched the message this morning, but that's all right. I'd rather give it to you as God gives it to me than I had what I think is going to happen in the message. But when we look at this, we need to get back and stir up the gift of God that's in us. Not that we work it up. You ever seen somebody try to work up the service? Becky and I was listening to some music yesterday while I was working around the house, and there's a lot of showboating taking place. People that have voices that are able to hit the highest octaves, and those that are able to go to the lowest octave. And they try to work it up by showing out or showing off their talents. And there's nothing wrong with talents, don't get me wrong. But I'd rather have a song sung out of pitch and out of tune, but it has the fire mixed with it, than I had to hear the greatest of choir sing a song and there be no fire, none whatsoever. You see, in order, what Paul is really saying to Timothy is we need to return to our gifts. We need to get back, as Tara sings a song every once in a while for us here at the church. We've got to go back. The prophet of old said, I counsel thee to seek out the old paths, and when you find them, to walk therein. He said, you want to have the fire? You've got to be close to God. You see, there's a lot of things you and I could do. But Paul said, it's not expedient that we do those things, because what it will do, it'll cause our fire to go down. You ever seen anybody that was on fire for God and now they just got a little flicker of a flame? Some of you don't want to admit it, but you know it's the truth this morning. You see, we've got to go back. Get the theatrics out of the pulpit. Amen. Get the showmanship out of the pulpit. Get the entertainment out of the house of God. You want to be entertained? Let the fire come down. Can I get a witness on a Sunday morning that there is nothing like being in the midst of a church house when the fire falls from heaven above? You talking about being entertained. You don't know whether to raise your hands, to scream, to holler, to praise the Lord, to shout. You don't know what to do. Sometimes we just sit there and cry like a baby. But one thing about it, when we leave the house of the Lord, we know we've been in the presence of an almighty God. Because the preacher didn't have to tell us God's in the house. Singers didn't have to tell us God's in the house. Our neighbor didn't have to budge us in the side and say, God is in the house. We know God is in the house because I felt his presence in such a powerful, powerful way. You see, as I close, what we've done is we are trying to teach people how to live godly without the fire. Now that came from the Lord this morning. We're trying to teach them how to live godly, good lives without the fire. Sometimes these ladies, my sisters here, they've told me, and I believe it was just the other Sunday, Sister Betty said to me, she said, you sure look awful sharp. And I said, you can dress up a pig, but it's still a pig. Amen. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. I can't preach you into obedience. I can't preach you into living a good life. I can't preach you into living by the Word of God. But when God sends the fire, How many of you know you don't need me with you to tell you whether it's right or wrong? You know why? You've got the fire. But even lost people know what's right or wrong. Because one, they've been raised right. They've been taught. They know what the law of the land says, even if they don't know what the law of God says. Do you know the law of the land came from the law of God? Most of the laws, that's where they got their origin at. It wasn't from Hammurabi. It wasn't from one of the other prophets. But it was from God himself that said, thou shalt not. You know why he said that? He wanted us to have the fire within us at all times. Paul's telling Timothy, I've come this morning to tell the church, go back into remembrance. When the devil is just beating you to death, beating you to death, and you think there is no hope, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. That did not come by Roger or anybody else man's hands, but came from the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Amen. Yeah, I took you back to a 1970 song, I know. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. There's only one God, and he is Jehovah, my God and your God. There's only one true fire, and that fire is the fire that he put down within our hearts and our souls. Now, let me close. In Numbers, the 26th chapter, it talks about a strange fire. I've mentioned strange fire. Did I not? And today we're still seeing strange fire. Theatrics and showmanship that present a different fire. Have y'all ever been in church and you think, oh my God, what is happening? Yeah. You say, have you been there? Yes, I have. I've seen them fall out on the floor and it's like, oh my goodness. You see, you say, Roger, you ought not be a judge of that. The Bible says if we do it with the fire, paraphrasing, it will be in decency and in order. And you won't have to look at somebody and say, is this real? You'll know it's real. Amen? Strange fire. And in 2 Samuel, and I believe this is what's happening to America, God told them to get right. And they refused to get right. And you know what the Lord said unto them? He told them to send the word back, I'm going to set your fields on fire. How many of y'all believe that's what's happening to America today? God is getting ready, if he's not already. I mentioned before, I said I was going to close. Let me go back for just a minute. With everything that's going on in the Ukraine, those that are even China against Taiwan. And these are important events today to remember. Iran with the nuclear arsenal that they are building. Israel and what's happening there. And what happened in Afghanistan with the radical Muslims regaining power. Can you not see today, church? It's not going to be a war of one nation against one nation. We are going to have total chaos around the globe. Now you say, Roger, are you prophesying? I'm preaching what the Word of God teaches us. You'll have wars and rumors of wars. We just came through a pestilence, did we not? Still battling through it. And earthquakes in diverse places. When you hear all these things come to pass, you better remember that fire you got down on the inside. Because that's when the Son of God is going to come in the clouds of glory. and get his church and take it home to be with him forevermore. And Revelation 20 and 10 says it like this. As you get a song for us, Sharon. Then the deceiver shall be cast into that lake of fire. His days of deception are over. The church will rise triumphantly over death, hell, and the grave. Some will say, well, what happens when the Lord comes and the church is called, and isn't there going to be the great separation, and there's going to people hear those sad words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. If you have the fire down on the inside, you don't have to worry about that event, because the church will already be called away. Amen? And then death and hell will deliver up all that they have in their bounds. You know what hell is right now? Outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But on that day, death and hell will deliver up all that they have, and they shall be cast into that lake of fire, which burneth and burns and burns, and it will never, ever go out. They'll die and die and never die. You say, Roger, well, you got to preach so hard on a Sunday morning, because we need to go back in remembrance to the fire that's down on the inside. How many of you are concerned about the world events happening all around us today? How many of you are concerned about America and the shape that she's in today? Did you know today, and whether you're Republican or Democrat, as long as we got this puppet in the White House, we're going to see more and more of this take place. Don't you interfere. We're afraid. Where is the backbone of America that stood for a liberty around the world? And now all we do is send $350 million worth of armory that we had in a warehouse somewhere for them to use to fight against Russia. You say, Roger, do you want us to go to war? I don't want war on any end. But we cannot sit by and watch these bullies take over one nation after another nation. Otherwise, you know what? They're gaining steam. And the next thing you know, they'll be in the harbor of New York. They'll be at Long Beach. They'll be down in Florida. And they'll be coming in through Canada. And they'll say, we took all them great powers. The only one left. God has turned his back on America, and now we can take them. Folks, if it's not real, then just say, just block your ears to it. But I'm telling you, we better get back to God. We better get back to God. Our forefathers died in vain preaching this gospel. And here we are in the day that they feared. I believe it with all my heart. Nam was nothing. WW1 and WW2 was nothing compared to what's coming. Amen? But yet, let me give you the scripture. Some are afraid Russia's going to push that button. America's going to push that button. And then that'll be the end of the world. No, sir. God has that day reserved for himself. Amen. Church, you've been taught this. I want you to remember, God said, I will be the one that will step out, not man. And when I come, I'm coming with vengeance. He's coming today. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. I hope you remember that fire that's down in your soul. And stir it up. Stir it up every once in a while. You know what happens when you have these old, many of y'all grew up with wood stoves. And every once in a while, you got to open the door and tote the poker and stir it up a little bit. Drag some of those coals around those logs that aren't burning. Flip them over a little bit. You got to poke it every once in a while. You know what the Holy Spirit needs to do to the church? It's come by and give us a poke every once in a while. The fire is real. while we sing a verse of a song on this Sunday morning. Call to remembrance of that which God has put down inside of you. I cannot bear these burdens alone. Yes. We need the fire today, like we've never seen it before in the midst of the church and in our lives. Yes. He ever loves and cares for his own. Yes, somebody needs to move this morning. That fire's not there like it once was. It's time you come back. Get God to increase that fire, that you might grow in his word and in his will for your life. Yes. I must tell Jesus. Yes. He's the only one. Amen and amen. And I have to explain. Sometimes Roger gets beside himself. The president, the sitting president, is a sick man. He's battling with Alzheimer's or dementia. He is a very sick man. He is a puppet for the Democratic Party. He is. And we have no one to blame but our fellow Americans that wanted their college tuition to be paid off in full, that wanted the handouts, that wanted somebody different than somebody that had mean tweets. I think a lot of Americans are saying, I wish we had that mean guy back. Amen. Y'all say, Roger, y'all not bring politics into church. This is fact. It's not politics. We need somebody with some backbone that'll stand up. With everything going on and around the world today, we don't need a weakling in the most high position in our country. And you say, well, what's the remedy? What's the remedy? There isn't one until the midterms, and then the elections in 2 more years, if we can make it 2 more years. And God help us, Kamala Harris were to be put in place. And y'all say, you're just full of vinegar this morning, aren't you, son? It's true. Because if she goes in place, then Pelosi will go in as vice president. But I heard an analogy that if we take the midterms, I don't know if this is true, some of you political science people had to tell me, if we take the midterms, then Trump could be put in as Speaker of the House. Some of y'all didn't hear me. If we take the midterms, Trump could be put in as Speaker of the House. And I see a line walking up and down the stairs of the White House. Amen. You say, Roger, you think all this will happen? Probably not. You know why? Because if we promise the American people another handout, they'll lay back. But did you know nothing is free? Nothing is free. All those handouts has now come in inflation that's above 7%. And gas that will be headed toward $5 and $6 a gallon even though if we had the pipeline still open, we would be able to run more fuel than what we get from Russia. I got to say this and I'll close, I promise you. We're saying, Russia, we're going to put all of these things against you. You can't do this, you can't do that. I'm sure Putin is sitting there saying, oh, my Lord, what am I going to do? You know what he is saying? Yeah. Cut off the World Bank. I don't care. I've got enough. I don't need the World Bank. You're going to cut off my food supply? Look up Ukraine and look how they're like number one through number 10 and so many different of our potatoes and all kinds of food. You're going to cut off our food supply? Guess what? I've got Ukraine. I'll get theirs. People say, you got it all figured out? No. If I did, I'd be in office. But you know, they don't call me and ask my opinion. Amen. Because you see, even though we may know a little bit, we're just scratching the surface of everything that is happening. Amen. That's why we need to go back in remembrance of the fire that God has put down inside of us today. God bless you. I didn't mean to preach so long, but God bless you, each and every one of you. I hope your fire got stoked a little bit this morning. And you're ready to come back tonight and worship the Lord all over again with us at 6 o'clock. So come out tonight ready to worship the Lord. And I know God will bless us for it.